What is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, September 28th. Week two, basically in the book. Some crazy stuff went down this weekend, so we're going to dive right in. I'm going to give you some key takeaways from every game that went down over the weekend, and we are going to start with Cincinnati and Chicago. Chicago, of course, prevailing in that one. My prediction was Andy Dalton wins the game, rides off into the sunset, and that is the last we ever heard of him. Yeah, it was a bad joke. I found it funny, though, and it actually might be true. Because here's what's happened. In the meantime, Andy Dalton was hurt in this contest, and Justin Fields replaced him. Now, initially, there was some fear that it might have been a torn ACL. It is not, but Justin Fields, this might be it. He may take over, and that's the last she wrote. Of course, it wasn't a great game for Fields by any means, but give him a full week of practice, and things could be very different. By the way, if you're down on Allen Robinson, I know 2 for 24. Did catch the touchdown, though, so at least you got that. Give it a minute. Just let's see what happens when Fields takes over. Otherwise, this was a whole lot of David Montgomery, and that's about that. On the other side, I know people are down on Joe Burrow. I'm not feeling the same way. I mean, okay, the stat line, 207 and 2, nothing special. But the connection that he has with Ja'Marr Chase, again, only 2 for 54, but had the touchdown. But Ja'Marr Chase's average depth of target was 20 and a half yards downfield. He also really went after with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd in this one. Tyler Boyd had 7 for 73. Not a great fantasy day, but a solid day nonetheless. I am not bailing on Joe Burrow just yet. Houston and Cleveland, another injury in this one. A lot of injuries, but nothing season-ending, at least it seems. For Houston, Tyrod Taylor was banged up, so we saw Davis Mills. And there really wasn't much to see there, but he is going to start this week, so he's going to have some value. We'll talk about him tomorrow. Mark Ingram was predictably blah. Blah. He was outscored by Philip Lindsay, who did not touch the ball a lot. In fact, only had 5 carries for 2 yards. And 1 catch, but he scored on the touchdown. So, yeah, blah, that backfield is annoying. Brandon Cooks, doesn't matter who's under center, he's going to see a ton of volume. 14 targets, 9 for 78 and a score. Brandon Cooks is off to the races. Cleveland, on that side, Baker was banged up, and Jarvis. Looks like Jarvis is going to miss some time here. But Baker, we'll see what ends up happening with him. He said his shoulder popped out, so that doesn't sound very good. The backfield was split, which is annoying. 11 carries for 95 yards for Nick Chubb. This could have been like a Derrick Henry day if you really wanted it. You could have had 20-plus carries. You could have had 200 yards, 3 scores. But they used a lot of Kareem Hunt here. 13 for 51, blah, for Kareem Hunt. And, yeah, the receivers, if there's no Jarvis, there are no receivers here, and they'll just use all 50 of their tight ends, which is basically what they did. Moving on to the Rams and the Colts. Darrell Henderson was banged up in that one. So we did see Sony Michel. People freaking out over 2 weeks. It's so weird that the transformation that happens in people's minds. We draft for the full season, and then as soon as we get to week one, people just forget that. You had to give Sony Michel a little bit of time, and this wasn't the amount of time we needed to give him. But if Henderson misses any time, obviously Michel will be the lead back. It wasn't terrible. 10 for 46. Henderson, 13 for 53. I mean, Henderson just scored the early touchdown. But no, Sony Michel wasn't terrible in this one. Cooper Kupp's amazing. But this is a great opportunity to buy low on Robert Woods. Woods had 9 targets in this one. 5 for 64, nothing. It's not good, especially when Cooper Kupp's the number one fantasy receiver for the week. But 9 targets. Matty Stafford looks phenomenal in this offense. Just so comfortable. Now, it wasn't a big fantasy day for him either, but just so comfortable. He didn't need, well, maybe he needed to do more. I digress. Somehow on the other side, Carson Wentz managed to sprain both of his ankles. How is that even possible? It's Carson Wentz. Like, all the Philadelphia Eagles fans are like, see, I told ya, bro. 247 and 1 for Carson Wentz. Jacob Eason, not good. If they have to rely on him, it's a great buy low opportunity on Jonathan Taylor. He went 15 for 51 in this one. I'm still buying on the talent. We saw it last year. Michael Pittman, breakout game. 8 for 123 on 12 targets, but his value will be tied to Carson Wentz, so that is a problem. And don't get too crazy with Jack Doyle here. 8 targets in this one, but he is Jack Doyle. We've been down this road before. Buffalo and Miami. Do I have anything to say about Miami? Well, yeah, I guess I have to. Tua's banged up, but it wasn't a major injury, so they had to use Jacoby Brissett for most of the game. They weren't able to do anything here. I'm not going to draw much from the passing, the receiving numbers here. Jalen Waddle, I still think, is a hold. We'll see what happens with Will Fuller. I've heard some rumblings behind the scenes of what might be going on there. I'm not willing to comment on that right now, but I assume we're going to get some answers this week, and we'll figure it out from there. Miles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed, and Malcolm Brown, still in a full-blown committee, though Gaskin remains the lead back, still only PPR RB 32 this week. Moving over to Buffalo, yeah, Zach Moss, cool. He was inactive last week. He scores 2 touchdowns this week. That's not really what I care about here, though. What I care about is the snap distribution in this backfield. 43 snaps for Devin Singletary, who also looked pretty darn good. 13 for 81 or 82. He scored a touchdown. He caught a couple balls out of the backfield. He's number 11 PPR back for the week. Moss played 18 snaps, 43 for Singletary, 18 for Moss. Ordinarily, Moss will not be usable with 18 snaps. Just plain and simple. And that Josh Allen rule, that stinks. That was, you know, it was basically a touchdown, but that is the rule in the NFL. Stephon Diggs got in the end zone. Not a huge day for him. 4 for 60, but the touchdown bails you out. 8 targets, though. I'll follow the targets all day long with that one. Moving over to New England and the Jets. Well, Zach Wilson got Belichicked in this one for sure, and better days will be ahead. And that goes for Corey Davis as well, who saw a shadow from J.C. Jackson in this one. Not the best day for Corey Davis, but, you know, those are the breaks sometimes with all of this. The key that I wanted to point out, backfield snap distribution. You ready for this one? Tevin Coleman, 7 snaps. Ty Johnson, 33 snaps. Michael Carter, 33 snaps. Michael Carter led the backfield in touches. It took one freaking week, okay? And he looked like the best back on the team. Finishes as PPR RB23. It didn't take very long. On the other side, New England. Not a great game for Mac Jones, but Mac Jones kind of, he didn't need a great game because the defense just completely shut down the Jets offense. Nothing to be said about the passing game. I'm still going to hold on Jacoby Myers. I'm still going to hold on the tight ends if I have them. But really, this comes down to the backfield. 16 for 62 and a touchdown for Damian Harris. They're going to continue to use all of these backs. James White looks very good on paper. But he had 6 catches in this one. He's not going to have 6 catches every week, or else he'd have, you know, that'd be like a record season for running backs. It's not going to happen every week. James White still remains very volatile, and he is very catch dependent. So in games where he's not used there, he's not going to have much value. And it's unfortunate, but them's the breaks. All right, next game after the break here, we're going to do San Francisco and Philly. Injuries galore for the 49ers backfield. Say it ain't so, 49ers backfield. Literally every one of the running backs who played for the 49ers yesterday got hurt in some way, shape, or form. Well, the top 3 did. So Elijah Mitchell, not the best fantasy day even before the injury, but he's dealing with the shoulder injury. Trey Sermon, oof, brutal hit and a concussion. And even Jamichael Hasty getting in on the mix. He's like, hey, you guys can't overshadow me. I'm also going to get hurt. Dealing with an ankle injury. Trenton Cannon played 1 snap for them. It is not Trenton Cannon season. I'm still buying in on Elijah Mitchell as long as the injury is not severe. 17 carries for him, 2 catches. That's 19 touches. Even though the fantasy day wasn't as good as Jamichael Hasty's, I don't care. He's still the guy. He's still the guy. Otherwise, Deebo Samuel doing Deebo Samuel-like things. He had 6 for 93. Brandon Ayuk was the number 2 receiver on the field for them, even though he's not the number 2 in terms of fantasy points because he had a catch for 6 yards, but he was the number 2 receiver in this game. Jimmy G, for now, remains locked in as the quarterback. He did not look good early, looked okay later, obviously. By the way, the Eagles' run defense is very good, so I'm not worried for Elijah Mitchell based on the performance. I'm worried for him based on the injury. On the other side, man, the Eagles had this game numerous times. They just couldn't really seal the deal in the red zone. But Jalen Hurts shows you that a really good running quarterback can be a fantasy option, even if he doesn't have a big day with his arm. Only 190 passing yards for Jalen Hurts in this one. 10 for 81 and a score. He's a top 10 fantasy quarterback with that line. Otherwise, not a ton to take away here. I'm not panicking over Devontae Smith. He led the team in targets. He had 7. Only caught 2 for 16. Quez Watkins had the big reception, but it's not like Quez Watkins was heavily involved. So this really is still Devontae Smith. Buy low on Devontae Smith. All right, moving on to Vegas and Pittsburgh. Okay, Derek Carr, people are going nuts over, but don't go dropping somebody better for Derek Carr at this point. He is, this isn't a fluke, but at the same time, don't go dropping somebody crazy for Derek Carr. Derek Carr is this generation's Philip Rivers for fantasy purposes. And if you played fantasy for a long enough time, you get what that means. Otherwise, hey, they used Peyton Barber exactly as we thought. 13 carries for him, only 7 for Kenyon Drake. So it was a bit of a mess there without Josh Jacobs. Loved how they used Henry Ruggs, by the way. On a Pittsburgh side of things, every time Deontay Johnson even gets nicked, he's like a soccer player with those injuries. It's so devastating. But he'll be fine. 9 for 105 on 12 targets. Great outing there for him. Juju was involved in this one, catching 6 balls for 41. 9 targets for Claypool, 3 for 70, but the target volume and the A-dot, very encouraging, 21.6 A-dot. Najee Harris, not a great game on the ground, but scored a touchdown, 5 for 43 as a receiver, still a top 10 fantasy week right there. Moving over to New Orleans and Carolina. So the New Orleans, I'm not even going to run through the stats because you know they're terrible. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here. You know, what we saw in week one was certainly a weird game. Now we saw another weird game out of this team. Is it surprising to see weird games from a team who has not been at home for like a month? These guys are sleeping in hotels. Is it weird to see a weird game from, or surprising to see a weird game from a team whose coaching staff was decimated by COVID and largely most of them weren't on the field this week or in the booth? No, it's not weird at all. So give them the benefit of the doubt. On the other side, man, I kind of dig how Carolina looks. Sam Darnold, another solid game, 305 and 2. 8 for 79 and a score for DJ Moore. Robbie Anderson, not a big day, but I'm still holding on to him. And then, of course, Christian McCaffrey is phenomenal. Almost 30 touches. He has 29 in this one. He's phenomenal. And we know that. I don't need to tell you that. Denver and Jacksonville, I hope you were patient with Cortland Sutton. After the first week, he was shadowed in that game. And remember, I said, hey, he's still going to be the number one. Well, I think you believe me now if you didn't believe me before. Goes nuts in this one. 258 air yards, by the way. 9 for 159. Sutton is a stud. Tim Patrick, lightly used. KJ Hamler, lightly used. So hopefully you didn't use those guys for fantasy purposes. And we still have a full-blown split in the Denver backfield. Actually, Melvin Gordon out snapping Javonte Williams 41-28. But they did see equal carries. Gordon, of course, had one extra catch. Both of them were RB3s, which is exactly where we ranked them for this week. On the other side, for Jacksonville, I guess encouraging for James Robinson. The fantasy line is not encouraging, but the usage was 41 snaps, only 14 for Carlos Hyde. So that is good right there. Just 2 touches for Hyde as well. Trevor Lawrence, not a big game, but he did have 405 air yards in this one. So there's that. Marvin Jones ends up being the top receiver this week. I feel like this is going to be streaky. 6 for 55 and a score for Jones. It was good enough for wide receiver 2 production, but it's going to be streaky this year. Minnesota, Arizona. On the Arizona side, I know that people are going to look at Rondale Moore and fall in love. And that's easy to do because Rondale Moore is freaking awesome. But I do have a word of caution. The fantasy line pops, but you know what? He's the number 4 receiver. Number 1 is DeAndre Hopkins. The number 2 is AJ Green. And the number 3 is Christian Kirk. 59 snaps for Hopkins, 51 for AJ Green, 38 for Christian Kirk, 28 for Rondale Moore. The dude is a stud, but this is not going to happen every week, so be careful. On the other side, though, man, Kirk Cousins is the exact reason why you go late-round quarterback. He's the exact reason why you wait for 10 quarterbacks to be drafted in two quarterback leagues, then you draft your quarterbacks. He's off to a great start. Number five at the position in fantasy scoring this week. Dal Cook goes nuts in this one. Adam Thielen still scoring touchdowns. Justin Jefferson in the mix. Even KJ Osborne trending up, but he's not a big priority. He only played 36 snaps this week. Atlanta, Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay, Tom Terrific is terrific. We'll see what happened with Mike Evans. He was a little dinged up in that one, but he bounced back in a big way. 5 for 75 and two scores. My concern about two tight end sets came to fruition. Only 28 snaps played for Antonio Brown in this one. 1 for 17. You might know that from your fantasy box scores. So that's a little bit concerning. And Gronk now in... he's in a top six territory now at tight end. He's a set and forget every week guy. On the Atlanta side, I am not overly concerned about Calvin Ridley first and foremost. 10 targets for him. He caught 6 for 63 and a score. It was a wide receiver two fantasy week, but I'm still fine with that. I am also not over-exaggerating or overblowing the value of Cordarrelle Patterson. This was a game for the ages for him. This is not an indicator of the future. He's still just 24 snaps, 46 for Mike Davis. This is more, for me, confirmation that Mike Davis is what I thought he was going to be, in that we shouldn't have valued him as like a mid-range to front-end RB2. He was a volatile RB2, and he was in the dead zone for me for a reason. But he's still on RB2, so if you have him, don't like freak out. He's number 17 back this week. He caught 7 balls. Dallas and the Chargers. On the Dallas side, the perfect quintessential example of negative correlation. You've heard me say it before. This was it. If the run game goes off, it is really hard for the passing game to also go off in an NFL game. And this was the prime example. Don't panic if you have Dak. The run game went off. Pollard and Elliott both went off. Pollard, number 4. Elliott, top 15 fantasy weeks. Awesome. And by the way, CeeDee Lamb was the only one who wasn't really affected. He still had a solid week. Do I buy in on Pollard as a full-blown committee? No. It's still Ezekiel Elliott, 44 snaps, Pollard 21. Pollard just maximized in this game, but he's not going to do it every week. So just be careful. Pollard was out there, 21 snaps. He touched the ball on 16 of them. It's not going to happen all the time. He's not going to have this efficiency all the time. On the other side, thank you. I was a little bit worried about Austin Eckler, but 9 targets has me back where I should be. Not a great day on the ground. I mean, 9 for 54 is what it is, but this is Austin Eckler's value. 9 catches. That's 9 points by itself in PPR, plus the 61 yards. He's a top 5 fantasy back for the week as it stands. Keenan Allen balling out, stud. Only four catches, 8 targets, though, 108. I tell you what, though, Justin Herbert and Mike Williams got a thing going. Mike Williams is... he keeps trending up, man. He's at least an every week wide receiver 3. He might be even slightly better than that now after another good game. 7 for 91, but 10 targets. That's the key for me right there. Jared Cook, 3 for 28. That's 3 for 32 tight end if I ever saw one, but he did have 5 targets. Don't get too crazy about Donald Parham. Sure, he found the end zone, but yeah. Don't get too nuts. Anyway, Tennessee. Hey, man, fighting chance. And Tennessee's a prime example. And I mentioned this on my SiriusXM show. Sometimes just don't look at your fantasy scores. Like, I don't look at... yesterday, I literally didn't look at any fantasy scores with the exception of the Millie Maker. At the very end, too. I just watched the games. And I'll tell you what. I thought Ryan Tannehill looked pretty darn good in this game. Now, of course, the fantasy points tell a different story. He's quarterback 19. But I think that disconnect is telling. Because, hey, fantasy points do not tell the whole story. So Tannehill played well. He just didn't have any passing scores because Derrick Henry is too busy doing his thing. Tannehill, don't get rid of him or buy low. Like, get him for peanuts right now. Julio Jones looked good in this one. A.J. Brown probably should have made a catch or two more. Only 43 yards, but he did see 9 targets. And as I mentioned, yeah, Derrick Henry's awesome. No Derrick dilemma this week for us. On the Seattle side, you had Tyler Lockett go nuts. Don't panic if you had DK Metcalf, though. He was still heavily involved in this one from a target volume standpoint. It just, he didn't get in on the feeding frenzy like Lockett and Freddie Swain did. No, Freddie Swain isn't like an immediate pickup. I don't see this continuing to happen. If anything, this hurts Gerald Everett. I'm tossing Gerald Everett back in... redraft leagues if I have him. Yeah, no love there. Two scores, too, for Chris Carson on a somewhat inefficient day, so he bails you out there. Kansas City, Baltimore, what an end to the week. This is Tyreek Hill, by the way, in a nutshell. 1 week enormous, the next week kind of disappears. That's the ride we're on. There's nothing wrong with it. Mecole Hardman, by the way, clearly the number two receiver. 50 snaps for Hill, 40 for Hardman, 30 for DeMarcus Robinson, only 11 for Byron Pringle. Even though Robinson and Pringle got in the end zone, 8 targets for Mecole Hardman, very encouraging. Travis Kelce is a stud. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not so much. I don't think we're quite at panic button time, but we're not that far off. The Ravens side, the backfield remains a mess. Tyson Williams, Latavius Murray, Devonta Freeman, 37, 27, and 10 snaps respectively. Tyson Williams remains the best fantasy option, but not by much, and it isn't pretty. Marquise Brown is breaking out, and Lamar is a stud, and he shows you the value of a good running quarterback. What a stud. What a game. What an end to the week. Tomorrow on the podcast, we will get you that waiver wire for week 3. Oh, baby. A lot of overreaction this week, so I'll tell you how I'm valuing everybody. I don't think there's an absolute must-add, by the way. Anyway, that'll be tomorrow at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. FTNFantasy.com is the website. Go check that bad boy out. And I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out!